to another exciting episode of National People Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It's the Manic Monday of free speech, because that was a song, I think, by the Bangles. And here we are again, and it's Monday morning, and we are going to see just how freely we are able to speak. So go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, send the fundage, keep this show and this network going.
Yeah, sorry to jump in there, Patrick. Yeah, I thought you finished, but absolutely, folks. Republicbroadcasting.org do a fantastic job. There are many, many shows that I listen to off there every day, including weekends. So they've got a tremendous group of people over there, and I'm delighted to be able to work with two of them on a monthly basis, or twice a month, and that is Dr. Patrick Slattery and Mark Dankoff. And the first Tuesday of the month on achshow.com, we broadcast the Dankoff Report, which is headed up by Mark. So take it away, Mr. D.
Hello, Texas, America, and the world. This is Mark Dankoff coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the ACH version of the Dankoff Report. We didn't get our RBN version done on Friday because of technical problems at the station. That's now been resolved happily. So this roadmap and some additions will go quite nicely with what Patrick's going to be doing there at RBN. So let's launch and go as quickly as we can through a few stories and then get back to some analysis. Canadian global homo targets the NHL's Alexander Ovechkin. BT's Mark Dankoff responds to Brian Lilly of the Toronto Sun on his broadside of the Washington Capitals NHL legend and President Vladimir Putin of Russia. Take a look at that story. There's a link to the Brian Lilly broadside there that one can get to once you access what I have there at VT. Rather amazing what this Toronto Sun correspondent has to say about Ovechkin and what should have happened to Ovechkin in not being able to get into Canada to play some hockey, and what fans should do to Ovechkin in Canada when he does come. So rather amazing stuff there from the Toronto Sun. I felt it necessary to respond to this. Ukraine is sinking. Are the Western elites bailing out? That's Mike Whitney for UNS. We'll have more to say about that, I'm sure, in terms of analysis after I go through these stories. The RAND Corporation is now seemingly doing a U-turn on this whole question of the American involvement in the Russian-Ukrainian conflict. What do they know? Or what is it that we've already known that they have finally started to figure out, and that is that this whole thing is a complete loser in terms of American and European interests. Nonetheless, for right now, the United States and the EU find themselves absolutely wedded to a policy that is a complete loser. Want to know the whole business of tanks? Consult Brian Berletic at the New Atlas. He has a video of a few days ago now, and some new ones coming up. U.S. threatens missiles, jets, and now Crimea. U.S. sees or seeks war with China by 2025. Berletic does a good job of unveiling that whole situation, both the insanity of Ukraine as well as the wider insanity of the United States contemplating that it might have to go to war with China. I have a video up there, Ghosts, Soldiers of a Forgotten War. It's a film about the war in Ukraine that comes to us from Max Chronicler. And here's an interesting take from the dossier on Zelensky and Kolomoisky. The fascinating thing is that Zelensky has just sicked his secret police, Ukraine's SBU, on Igor Kolomoisky, a billionaire Jewish oligarch who was once wholly responsible for financing the Ukrainian president's rise to power. The significance of the story regarding Zelensky turning on his longtime patron, Kolomoisky's other significant ties, was entirely buried by foreign and state media, with most merely referring to the situation as another in a series of quote-unquote anti-corruption actions. Why is Kolomoisky significant at this point? He owned Burisma when it employed Hunter Biden. He financed Zelensky's entire TV business and political career, including his rise to the presidency. He once funded Ukrainian militias, but later argued that Kiev should engage in a detente with Russia. This part is critical, as Kolomoisky's good standing with the West shifted dramatically after this decision. Since then, he's become the subject of an FBI probe and U.S. sanctions. Think of that, folks, and the implications involved. The truth about tanks, how NATO lied its way into disaster in Ukraine. There's Scott Ritter for UNS. Big surge on matters related to Bakhmut, which is about to fall, folks. I don't know how much longer it goes before the Ukrainians finally give it up in this quote-unquote meat grinder that is taking place there. It's an ugly situation, And it's very, very apparent now that Ukraine is about to see the entire Zelensky line spring leaks. Nonetheless, Big Surge has something for us about the Russian-Ukrainian war, the world blood pump. This deals specifically, of course, with the whole issue of Bakhmut and its significance and the fact that it's about to go the way of all flesh. Putin's Navy frigate is armed with hypersonic missiles. They diverted not long ago, some days ago, toward the United States and the Atlantic Ocean, according to the UK Daily Mail. A Russian victory in Ukraine won't end the war, according to Mike Whitney for UNCE. And as we start looking at this situation, Whitney is actually afraid that the United States is actually going to start deploying commandos to strike behind Russian lines, to train paramilitaries to ignite an insurgency, and to fire missiles at Crimea, Russia, and perhaps even Moscow itself. Mike asked rhetorically, is Putin ready for that? And my response to that is yes, with a smile. The American people and the people of Britain and Europe are not going to be ready for what's going to happen if that transpires, but nonetheless, keep an eye on that story. Here's one for Geopolitica in English. Davor Slobanovic Vujacic. If I have butchered this fine person's name, I apologize. In what cases will Russia use its nuclear weapons without hesitation? Read the story. They are saying something in this circumstance. South Front some days ago had an excellent piece that is still relevant. Russian large-scale combat actions in Ukraine expected in February, late February, early March. This, I presume, is going to be the final unfolding of the so-called general offensive that has not happened yet, the big ticket or big arrow offensive. But keep an eye on it, because I think with the cracking of Bakhmut and the obvious fall of Soledar that's already taken place, this whole thing is not that far away. At war with Russia, Europe peers down the abyss. Alistair Crook for Telegraph. Take a look at a very, very fine story there. I did a major excerpt of that for the roadmap. Alexander Dugin, Konstantin Malofiev, and proto-priest Andrew Tokachev, I think is this last gentleman's name. I apologize. It's a must-read. I am recommending this specifically on the roadmap for American or British listeners. It's entitled The ABC of Traditional Values, Historical Memory, and Intergenerational Continuity. In general, say these authors, general and traditional values, live in historical memory. Without historical memory, there is no tradition. Without tradition, there is no need for historical memory. This is a key, important, and necessary notion in modern civilization, because there's a culture of erasure, a culture of annihilation, when we are told that everything that came before us has no meaning, no significance. Everything must be erased, because we now live in a new world, and soon we will be transhumanist cyborgs, or a set of codes in a cloud server. The lack of memory transfer is a key element of modern civilization. They abolish all identity. They burn every hint of nationality, family history, and even gender of European and American children, all to turn them into atoms, atoms of a new and beautiful celluloid world in which they will only consume and do what an artificial intelligence tells them to do. And behind the artificial intelligence will, of course, be the puppeteers who will impose the narratives that they need. And only historical memory will protect us from this. If you're worried about the New World Order, this is very, very definitely something that you need to take a look at in regard to what it is that these three gentlemen, including Mr. Dugin, are absolutely suggesting. Let's go now forward to some ads. I have so many other stories to cover in the original roadmap that was up there on for the RBN show that didn't happen on Friday because of technical problems at the station. Let's go for one moment now back to this whole issue of some ads in order that we might see that there are some things that have happened in the last 72 hours or so that are well worth our time. These are a few of the ads, and I emphasize a few because I'm going to continue adding between now and the time that the show absolutely posts. Here's a very significant story from Sputnik and many other news agencies. Ex-Israeli Prime Minister reveals quote-unquote big concessions that Putin and Zelensky were ready to make before the West killed the talks. Naftali Bennett is the ex-Israeli prime minister who starts talking, and what he is saying here certainly dovetails with what we have already learned from the lips of Angela Merkel and from the previous French president, Hollande, in regard to how badly the West has wanted this war until it began to blow up in the West's face. Now, according to the RAND Corporation, there's a need for perhaps a pivot and a new understanding of Ukraine, especially since we are about to get into it with China if some really crazy people prevail in the next couple of years. But take a look what the ex-Israeli Prime Minister Bennett has to say about the fact that the West was never committed to peace, that the West and the New World Order wanted this war from the beginning, and now they're trying to figure out how to get out of the mess that they've started, and that I don't think they're going to be able to finish. Here's a historical document from Mark Weber at UNCE. This has just come up. It's 15,550 words or something like that. Weber, as usual, is worth your read, even with the length of this article, perhaps because of the length of this article. It's entitled President Roosevelt's Campaign to Incite War in Europe, The Secret Polish Documents. What is Mark Weber talking about here from the Institute for Historical Review? Take a look at that story, because it would seem that FDR's methodology is perhaps repeating itself in terms of what's going on at Pennsylvania Avenue, 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, for whatever period of time is left in the Biden administration's holding down of the fort in that rather ignominious situation. Turkey-Syria earthquake, one counts at 1,500 dead. CNN has upped that to 1,800. I would imagine in the next 12 to 24 hours, we're going to see another dreadful increase in the numbers of people found dead underneath that rubble. Revolver News, America First, has a tribute to Pat Buchanan. That is an excellent read, which we've put up there via Lou Rockwell's link to the original Revolver News story. Suffice it to say this about Pat Buchanan. He was a very, very interesting character. I work on a volunteer basis with his campaigns against George Herbert Walker Bush here in Texas in 92, and subsequently in his run for the presidency in 96, where he finished a distant second to Bob Dole. Pat Buchanan, at one level, was an invaluable force for the real American right, dating all the way back to when he was writing his first columns in newspapers during the time of Barry Goldwater in the Goldwater presidency, going back now to 1964. On the other hand, Pat Buchanan, by the same token, made a terrific mistake as an electoral candidate in endorsing Bob Dole in 1996 in San Diego. And that says something that I won't say too much more about here. Perhaps would be a subject for a future show, maybe on RBN. But nonetheless, Pat Buchanan laid out a roadmap for things 20 years prior to the time of Donald Trump. Two notable differences for me between Buchanan and Trump. One is that Pat Buchanan, of course, has a much deeper background in political history and in history and in things related to the intellectual. But Pat Buchanan was also no tool of the Zionist lobby whatsoever. That's why his money was limited in terms of what he was attempting to do in electoral politics. The other thing in Buchanan's favor in that comparison is that Pat Buchanan was never seen in any sense of the word courting the log cabin Republican constituency or these other LGBTQ types in the Republican Party or anywhere else. Go back and take a look at that 1992 Buchanan speech in Houston. I was there in person in the Astrodome that night. His culture war speech of 1992 at that Republican National Convention still resonates, and it's absolutely amazing that years after that speech was delivered in Houston, the National Education Association had its national conference in Houston, where the entire theme of the conference was dedicated to increasing the influence of LGBTQ and its ideology at every level of American education. Pat Buchanan knew what he was talking about in 1992. President Trump needs to adjust his own thinking in regard to this log cabin LGBTQ element in the Republican Party. Here's a passage for me, a passage for the person certainly who has passed away, Dr. Timothy Warner. He passed away a year ago on February 14th. I just found out about it yesterday. He was a professor and a personal friend. He had been a chaplain's assistant at the Battle of the Bulge in the midst of Patton's Third Army. Dr. Warner passed away last year at 97. I knew him at Trinity Evangelical Divinity School in Chicago when that school was a far sounder institution than it sadly is today. But nonetheless, Timothy Warner is widely recognized in the responsible academically oriented evangelical community is not only a biblical theologian, but he was also an expert in matters occultic and occultic from a biblical perspective. No crackpottery in this man, but he has written several books on the subject that would be well worth your time if you feel like you need additional information to protect yourself and your family from the influence of Satan and occultic matters, especially in the day and age in which we're living. And so you will find Dr. Timothy Warner online, both with YouTube videos as well as his deeperwalkinternational.org ministry that is one of his sons is now running for him and running very, very well for him. But take a look at that incredible biography of this man when you get a chance to do so. Here's one other biblically oriented article that I think ought to be in there. Wayne Grudem, another pal of mine from Trinity Evangelical Divinity School days, a great professor. He is now the president of Phoenix Seminary in Arizona. He has one entitled Angels in the Bible. What do we actually know about them? Avail yourself of this information. Again, like Dr. Warner, Wayne Grudem is an acknowledged New Testament expert. Like Warner, totally conversant with the biblical languages and solid analysis, where one does not have to agree with Wayne Grudem and Dr. Timothy Warner in every area of their theology. I certainly didn't and don't, especially in eschatology. But nonetheless, in these matters, in these times in which we live, these are well worth the time of our listeners. Here's one for you, folks. I juxtaposed this with another article. We're almost finished, and we'll drag Patrick into all these discussions and Andy. CNN. Republicans across the country push legislation to restrict drag show performances. It's obvious that CNN thinks that this is a dangerous idea. If you understand the First Amendment correctly, you should have no problem, right, with having minor children involved in witnessing drag show performances by sexual perverts. At least that's what CNN seems to be implying that it believes in this article. Here's one from Russian Faith, and it's kind of at the other end of the spectrum. You got to take a look at this one, whether you agree with it or not. It would make for an excellent show and an excellent debate format. Capital punishment for homosexual acts. Christian reasons for outlawing illicit sex. A Russian Orthodox perspective, quote unquote, it is crucial to understand that if we do not resist Sodom, then in a few years it will devour us just as it did with Europe, unquote. You might add the United States to that quote as well. Excuse me, here's an excerpt from the story. Can Orthodox Christian laity prevent people from promoting perversion? Just don't vote Democrat in the next election. No, that's a joke, folks. That's not in the original quote. Certainly not ordinary laymen should be engaged in this, but also state authorities whom God commands to do it. Read Vladimir Putin. This decree goes back to the Old Testament commandment, quote, quoting Leviticus 20, verse 13, if a man lies with a male as he lies with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them, unquote. The New Testament speaks similarly about those who commit homosexual acts. According to the Apostle Paul, quote, those who practice such things are deserving of death, unquote. That's from Romans 1, verse 32. From the point of view of secular humanism, there is an essential difference between sodomy and murder. The murderer sins against another person, while sodomy does not formally go against someone's will, since he is engaged in sodomy by mutual consent in most cases. However, from a Christian point of view, his sin is even worse, since it defiles the image of God by which he was created. This is why St. John Chrysostom said, quote, I affirm that these homosexuals are worse than murderers, since it is better to die than to live after such a shame. The murderer separates the soul from the body, while this one destroys the soul along with the body, unquote. Again, that's from St. John Chrysostom, the fourth homily in the book of Romans. That's an interesting read, whether you agree with that perspective or not. Juxtapose that with the CNN thing on drag show queens and underage kids, and you could have the making of an incredible debate format between advocates of these various positions. Here's one from RT. Reznikov is out. The GUR's Budinov is in as defense minister. This particular case, Ukrainian defense minister Alexei Reznikov will be relieved of his duties. He will instead be appointed Minister for Strategic Industries. And in this, what strategic industries? There aren't too many that are left, folks. But at any rate, the chief of the Ukrainian Intelligence Directorate, Kirill Budinov, will head the defense ministry, which is absolutely logical in wartime, according to David Arakamia, who heads the parliamentary faction of Zelensky's political party.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience-supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Kirill Budinov will head the defense ministry, which is absolutely logical in wartime, according to David Arakamia, who heads the parliamentary faction of Zelensky's political party. A lot of seats being shuffled around in the Ukrainian government, and on occasion there you might have a helicopter crash that takes out the entire entire interior ministry, but a lot of seats are being rearranged on the deck chairs of the Titanic, as it is clear that Zelensky is panicking. It is clear that his backers are panicking, both in terms of those who are in Ukraine, as well as those who reside in the United States and in London and in Brussels and in Berlin and in Paris and .. Finally, multiple Chinese spy balloons entered the U.S. before the recent incident. This is a media story among many about this Chinese spy balloon. The spy balloon. That's kind of a neat sounding thing. A Chinese spy balloon. What is the significance or insignificance of this story? We might turn to Patrick for some of his ideas on that one. But that in brief is just a handful of the stories I have from Friday and a handful of the stories I have for today. Patrick, what do you think about Chinese spy balloon? Spy buffoons or spy baboons or spy balloons? What's your take on this?
Oh, well, I, you know, I've recorded my shows, and by the time this airs, we'll have broadcast my shows for Monday and Tuesday. On Monday, spoiler alert, Mark Collett thoroughly dismissed the idea of spy balloons. Spy balloons. Did Napoleon use spy balloons? I know that the Union Army used spy balloons in the Civil War, so-called Civil War. And not so much spy balloons, but just platforms to see what was going on behind enemy lines. So they have been used like that. They were already outdated by World War I when I know the British had dirigibles, which the difference between a dirigible and a balloon is a dirigible is maneuverable. You can actually sometimes it gets caught up in the wind, but you can maneuver them from one way or another. Balloon, when you've got satellites, why a balloon? Now weather balloons, well, what's the point of a weather balloon? A weather balloon can sample the atmosphere at various altitudes, 50,000 feet, 70,000 feet. It can sample the atmosphere, and so that, which is something we can't do from the ground, and it's something a satellite can't do. So I don't know exactly. It does seem to me when we've got Google Maps, when we've got countless satellites going over our heads all the time, what would be the purpose of a clearly visible balloon, spy balloon, taking some sort of unguided course floating over the United States? What would be the purpose of that? I don't know. And yet everybody got all bent out of shape about it. Here's the thing. You had mentioned, I guess, something about China and this. I guess it was in the context of the spy balloons at the beginning of your news roundup. And there's been a lot of talk about China over the past 2 weeks. And what provoked it? Well, what provoked it was, there is a general, four-star general, Mike Minihan. Okay, he's Mike Minihan, and he'd given a speech, or I believe it was a speech, or it was an interview, where he stated that he predicts we're going to be at war with China, directly at war with China in 2025, citing presidential elections in the United States and in Taiwan. Does he think that Joe Biden is a puppet of the Chinese? Is that what he thinks? And that in 2025, we're going to get Trump in, or some Republican who is going to dutifully go off and have a war with China? Oh, wouldn't that be great? Well, so it provoked a fair amount of talk about this. And on Tucker Carlson's show, he had on the comedian Jimmy Dore, political comedian Jimmy Dore, who said how insane a war with China would be, partly because the United States isn't in a position to win a war with China. And even Tucker Carlson momentarily walked back his anti-China belligerency, which he's very well known for, by saying, well, you can be hostile to China without wanting war. Because he's very hostile. But of course, then when we entered the golden age of balloons, Tucker Carlson went back to his usual anti-China rhetoric. And when I think about Mark Minihan, this is an odd character. He reminds me of, what was it, Colonel Kilgore from Apocalypse Now, who said he loves the smell of napalm in the morning.
The truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
homeowners. Are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extendivite really works. Here's just a few testimonials from Amazon. RL, 5 stars. Been taking this for 2 months now. I feel better. Have more energy. April, my husband started taking Extendivite, and he said he feels much better and has more energy. EW, need to try. Everyone needs this for their health. Great product, great people. Josie, it works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. JC, great product. Has worked well these last few years. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store, or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Fat Mark Minihan. This is an odd character. He reminds me of, what was it, Colonel Kilgore from Apocalypse Now, who said he loves the smell of napalm in the morning.
That was my reaction to him. And, of course, Robert Duvall, I guess, played that part. What was it? I love the smell of napalm in the morning. It reminds me of victory. Yes.
Right. So here's the quote from September 2022. Minihan, this is out of Wikipedia is where I get it from, but ultimately it's from another source. And he said that when you can kill your enemy, every part of your life is better. Your food tastes better. Your marriage is stronger. I'd like to ask him if it makes his anal sex better, because I would think he should know. But
may I say one thing, Patrick? Patrick, Dr. Slattery is absolutely quoting Minihan correctly. Now, think about this for a minute, folks, with what Dr. Slattery just told you, that Minihan said, this guy is the commanding general of the Air Mobility Command. It's a major command of the Air Force. And airandspaceforces.com has the complete memo available. And I'll try to get this in our news listings for this show and send it to Patrick as well. This is exactly what this guy said. And when you look at the aerospace, matter of fact, he signs the memo, let's go, exclamation point, Michael A. Minihan, General, United States Air Force Commander. I don't know of anybody, with one exception, who was a general officer in the Air Force when my dad was in it, and I knew some of these generals through my dad. I only knew one that approached the level of lunacy that seems to come forth in this article with this guy Minahan. Nobody that was making and the general I'm referring to from my dad's time is not Curtis LeMay, by the way, just to clarify that. The other thing is that the general, who had some fairly kooky ideas in those days, was not making those statements publicly. Now, this is absolutely incredible to me that a general officer of the United States Air Force and the head of an overall command could say the kinds of things that this guy is saying. I just wanted to get that in. Dr. Slattery does not misquote people. He's not misquoting Minahan in this case, and I'll make sure that he gets a copy of this and that Andy does as well, and I'll get it in the show description. But go ahead. Sorry.
Right. And I don't think Minahan is nearly as unusual as the general that you were referring to from your father's time. And what is going on here, what I think is going on, you know, we do have civilian control over the military. That is our tradition, and there's good reasons for it. You had in the, well, certainly during the QAnon times and at other times, you've had people on RBN and elsewhere say, oh, we need the military to intervene. We need a, you know, military coup. You've heard this type of thing. Well, who's the military nowadays? And whose side are they going to be on? The problem with the military and the officers, the elite officers in particular, is that they internalize the enemies and the values to a large extent, but certainly the enemies of the Jewish ruling class, the political class, and you've got civilian control of the military. The political class is dominated by Jews, and they internalize their enemies. So Iran's an enemy, and Russia's an enemy, and China's an enemy, and they don't necessarily ask why. I have a good friend who is he's a retired colonel, full colonel. He was in intelligence, military intelligence. He was briefing General McChrystal in Afghanistan and this and that. He was pretty high up. And I had mentioned Putin once, I think, or Putin once came up in a conversation a couple of years ago, and he just got really hostile and saying, no, Putin is not your friend. He is not our friend. And I said, oh, okay, well, why? And he couldn't tell me. He could not give a single reason why Putin was not our friend. I was saying, well, you know, he's got fiscally sound economic policies. You like that, don't you? He's pro-family. You like that, don't you? And he's, yeah, but he's not your friend. I know he's not your friend. He couldn't tell me. And I'm sure they can't tell you why the Chinese are our enemy. I know with the Iranians, it was just, you know, in terms of Iran versus Israel, it's like, well, Israel, the Israelis are winners. We want to be on their side. They internalize the enemies and the objectives of the Jewish ruling class without understanding. And, you know, part of the process is that some, I don't know about Minahan in particular, but people like Petraeus and McMasters and so many of these other top generals, they'll spend a couple of years at an Ivy League school or another elite school. McMaster was at UNC Chapel Hill. I think Petraeus was at Princeton. And I've seen them. I've seen them in my own academic career. These majors and lieutenant colonels, and they're there in the political science department studying security studies and all these things in faculties that are half Jewish. I mean, any elite university, the political science department is going to be half Jewish, and the reading list is going to be primarily Jewish. And they just internalize this unthinkingly. And I'm sorry, the military.
With you. Yeah.
And you know, you might be able to look back at a time many decades ago when the interests of the American ruling elite were not that different from the interests of the regular American people. But there's virtually no overlap now. So that's all I have to say about that.
Well, and in a context like that one, and then maybe we can shift gears a little bit, in a context like that one, most people who consider themselves quote-unquote conservatives have a view of the military, in my judgment, that is not only naive, but in some cases, in many cases, most cases, does not understand what you were just explaining to the audience. Neither do they understand the necessity of adhering to these lines in terms of careerism in the contemporary military. That's another aspect of this. And to me, is an old right, American old right type, I would say that the American military today is a major threat to your freedoms and mine and those of everyone listening to this show. And I suspect General Eisenhower, President Eisenhower, would agree with what I just said, at least up to a point he would. And when you think about the forces that the military is being used by, what are we talking about here? The New World Order, the advocates of Globo Homo, the Israeli lobby, the armaments industry, the central banks, the multicultural people, right, with all of the LGBTQ ideology going on in the military now, the military perceives that it needs to export this sort of thing to countries like Russia that don't want it. Folks, this is the sad situation with the American military today, which is the tool in the hands of people that we absolutely believe to be evil. This is not to say that every military man and every military woman in the armed forces of the United States is evil. I didn't say that. But many of them are misguided and don't understand the bigger picture, as obviously this full colonel that Patrick was talking to did not and apparently does not understand the bigger picture of what it is that we are using the military for in this country. It is not for the national security of the United States. I probably, in my roadmap for this show, will put up a poster that I kept, an electronic poster that says something to the effect, and there's a Statue of Liberty there on the poster, but it says the United States military is the chief tool of the New World Order or something like that. Hurts to say that. It hurts to say that you agree with that, but I'm compelled to agree with it. I think it's true.
Andy, what do you think of all this?
Well, the Chinese balloon thing I found extremely odd, to say the least, and I'm inclined to believe what some other commentators have said, that this is just a distraction that's being put out. What I consider a lot more worrying is what the Israel has been doing to Iran. We know that they've been pushing for America to go to war with them for years and years, and it now is looking like they might be deciding to kick that off by themselves and then hope that America comes to their aid. But with all these conflicts being held up, lit, the fuse being lit on relations between America and China and America and Russia, and then Israel going after Iran, and they always get America to help them out with their wars, one has to wonder what sort of strategy the US is planning to adopt, apart from complete destruction, because they're going against two powers now who arguably have a far more disciplined fighting force than they do, because if you watch the Chinese army recruitment videos and the Russia army recruitment videos and compare them with the most recent US army recruitment video that had a female soldier marrying her girlfriend, you will see something very different in the way that China and Russia portray their military when compared to how America portrays theirs. And one needn't even mention Joe Biden's preference for equipping the military with maternity flight suits, I think was one of the things that he was going to do for the Air Force. So it really is quite laughable, but it's very worrying for me, as I have a lot of friends in America, and it seems that they're almost setting the West up, certain countries, for complete destruction, and they're disarming them first. They're weakening the morality of their militaries so that it'll be easy to destroy those countries. And that, I tend to be fairly conspiratorial, but that would be my views on that. Back to you, Patrick.
So, regarding the, this general, Minihan, and his statements about war with China. You know, there is, I think, we've got these three big boogeymen of Russia, China, and Iran. And within the Jewish power structure, you do have a divergence of opinions on, for instance, whether to prioritize a war with Iran or a war with Russia, right? And you saw this played out in the late last couple of years of the Obama administration when they were pursuing the Iran nuclear deal. And the people pushing the Iran nuclear deal, the people who negotiated, it was Wendy Sherman and Tony Blinken, who are now the number one and number two people at the State Department. Victoria Nuland was there at the State Department, but she was busy with Iran. I mean, I'm sorry, she was busy with Ukraine fomenting coup d'etat in Ukraine with Joe Biden's nominal supervision. Nominal. He was in the office and he was trying to benefit from it in terms of corrupt business dealings and whatnot. That was he was assigned that portfolio by Obama. But, you know, you saw Blinken and in particular Wendy Sherman, who was the lead negotiator of the Iran nuclear deal. They were at odds with the government of Israel under Benjamin Netanyahu, who famously came to the United States at the invitation of the Speaker of the House. Who was that guy? Boner, the Boner guy. You know,
from
what I'm
Ohio.
Talking about. Yeah.
John Boehner. Yeah.
John Boehner. Yeah. John Boehner. Anthony Weiner went on the on Jon Stewart's Daily Show, Anthony Weiner, and he was calling him Boner, and he said, "Just own it. Just own your name. I do. I own my name. You should own your name." Anyway, which was actually very funny. But Netanyahu came, made a speech calling on the American government not to have a treaty with Iran, but rather to get ready to attack it. And so you had this divergence of priorities within different parts of the Jewish power structure, the uber pro-Israel, pro-Likudniks, and then who want to prioritize war with Iran. And then you had the people like Victoria Nuland and Wendy Sherman and Tony Blinken, who have, I guess, a chip on their shoulder against Russia. Certainly Victoria Nuland does. They have this ethnic grudge against Russia and want to prioritize that. I think a lot of the Jewish diaspora in the United States is more of that ilk rather than a war with Iran. Well, where does China come in? And if you're in the military and you've internalized these the objective of maximizing the power of the American state and in particular maximizing it in relative terms against your stated enemies, well, you see China is rising. So it's rising, and there is a logic from a military point of view. If you have internalized these Jewish enemies, well, actually, why prioritize either Russia or Iran? Why not prioritize China? And I think that's what's going on with some of these people in the military, and also some people maybe like Tucker Carlson, but they're, some goyim who are saying shift to China, because they've just internalized, because it's not just the military that's internalized these priorities. It's so many Americans in general. And I think they just need to understand who their real enemies are. And it's not Russia, and it's not China, and it's not Iran.
Yes.
So that's over and out.
Well, I've got something. I think we can just fit this in. In the UK, you have to as the free speech laws are so nebulous and woolly. They're designed to be because they really want to make everyone frightened of saying anything against the mainstream. So when you get something like this list I've got here from the Jewish Virtual Library, jewishvirtuallibrary.org, it's called Jews in the Biden Administration. Now, I was first made aware of some of these names from an Engelbert Poindexter song I heard some years ago. But I'll quickly run through. This is the list. At the top it says, Joe Biden was sworn in as 46th President of the United States on January the 20th, 2021. So most of these people have probably been serving for a couple of years. Ron Klain, Chief of Staff, resigned in 2023, replaced by Jeffrey Zients. Janet Yellen, Secretary of Treasury. Alejandro Mayorkas, Secretary of Homeland Security, Tony Blinken, Secretary of State, Merrick Garland, Attorney General, Jared Bernstein, Council of Economic Advisers, Rochelle Walensky, Director of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, Wendy Sherman, Deputy Secretary of State, Anne Neuberger, Deputy National Security Advisor for Cybersecurity, Jeffrey Zients, Chief of Staff, formerly COVID-19 Response Coordinator, David Kessler, co-chair of the COVID-19 Advisory Board and head of Operation Warp Speed. David Cohen, CIA Deputy Director. Avril Haines, Director of National Intelligence. Rachel Levine, Deputy Health Secretary. Jennifer Klein, co-chair Council on Gender Policy. Jessica Rosen, Warsaw, Chair of the Federal Communications Commission. Stephanie Pollock, Deputy Administration of the Federal Highway Administration. Polly Trottenberg, Deputy Secretary of Transportation. Mira Resnick, State Department Deputy Assistant Secretary for Regional Security. Roberta Jacobson, National Security Council Border SAR. Gary Gensler, Securities and Exchange Commission, SEC Chairman. Janine Max Fidler, National Council on the Humanities. Shelley Greenspan, White House Liaison for the Jewish Community.
Come fly with me, let's fly away. If you can use some exotic booze, there's a...
Did you know that essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history, but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization? Susanna's Secret offers 100% pure and natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica, another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle or a pure argan oil, a natural acne-fighting product. Check us out at SusannaSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com. S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Hi, Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC. 417-932-6419.
Pack up, let's fly away.
Gary Gensler, Securities and Exchange Commission, SEC Chairman. Janine Max Fidler, National Council on the Humanities. Shelley Greenspan, White House Liaison to the Jewish Community. Thomas Nides, U.S. Ambassador to Israel. Eric Garcetti, U.S. Ambassador to India, to be confirmed. Amy Gutman, U.S. Ambassador to Germany. David Cohen, U.S. Ambassador to Canada. Mark Gitenstein, U.S. Ambassador to the European Union. Deborah Lipstadt, Special Envoy to Monitor and Combat Anti-Semitism. Jonathan Kaplan, U.S. Ambassador to Singapore. Mark Stanley, U.S. Ambassador to Argentina. Rahm Emanuel, U.S. Ambassador to Japan. Sharon Kleinbaum, Commissioner of the United States Commission on International Religious Freedom. Dan Shapiro, Advisor on Iran. Alan Leventhal, U.S. Ambassador to Denmark. Michael Adler, U.S. Ambassador to Belgium. Michelle Taylor, U.S. Representative to the United Nations Human Rights Council. Jonathan Cantor, Assistant Attorney General in the United States Department of Justice Antitrust Division. Jed Kolko, Under Secretary of Commerce for Economic Affairs at the Department of Commerce. Aaron Kayak, Deputy Envoy to Monitor and Combat Antisemitism. Stuart Eisenstadt, Special Advisor on Holocaust Issues. Stephen Dettelbach, Director of the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms and Explosives. Amos Hochstein, Bureau of Energy Resources Special Envoy. Eric Lander, Science and Technology Advisor. Ned Price, State Department Spokesperson. And Ellen Germain, U.S. Special Envoy for Holocaust Issues. So we're told that the Jewish community in America represent only 2% of the population, yet they've got all these roles in the Biden administration that talks about inclusivity and all these different things. Whenever folks you hear, anyone in the independent media, try to say it's the Democrats, all this sort of stuff, where they don't have to in a country like America, where they still have their free speech, you need to ask questions of those individuals, because this is off a Jewish website, jewishvirtuallibrary.org. I'll include a link to it in the post for this show. And as soon as you hear some of these so-called right-wing talk show hosts, independent media, alternative media, whatever, keep telling you about China this and China that, just ask them if they'll read this to you and if they can point out any of these positions that are occupied by Chinese people. Patrick, back to you.
Even that's not a completely comprehensive list. It leaves off Jonathan Feiner, the deputy National Security Advisor, which is a post that's often very, very important. And people, it's a post of people who are on their way to bigger things often. So just in recent years, Tony Blinken occupied that post in the Obama administration. So did Avril Haines. And they're now, of course, cabinet members, Secretary of State and Director of National Intelligence. You've had in the past Sandy Berger, who went on to become the National Security Advisor. Lots of Jews. You see James Steinberg. There's a name. And here's a name, Walt Rostow. Walt Rostow, who later went on to become the National Security Advisor, but even as Deputy National Security Advisor, was kind of co-National Security Advisor. And according to a lot of research David Duke's been doing recently, was the main architect of the Vietnam War. People who had that post, Alexander Haig, Brent Scowcroft, so it's a big deal post, Robert McFarlane, John Poindexter, gosh, Colin Powell had that post, John Negroponte, Bill, Robert Gates. So, I mean, so that wasn't even on the list. And lots of Jews in the positions of power.
Thanks.
Okay, I'm gonna wrap it up from my side here. I want to thank you gentlemen for joining me. And I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
You and I in a little toy shop, buy a bag of balloons with the money we've got, set them free at the break of dawn. One by one, they were gone. Back at base, box in the software, flash the message. Something's out there, floating in the summer sky. 99 red balloons go by.
Einstein once said, "Future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies." What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing Terahertz frequency is now available and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To read more about this amazing breakthrough and to order your Terahertz frequency wand, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today because you can handle the truth.